Hey everybody, this is Miranda.
This is Pam.
And this is Augie.
And I want to welcome you back to our second podcast of Real Weirdness. And for all of our returning listeners, thank you so much. We appreciate you checking us out the first time, and I hope you enjoy this new session.
Well, of course they will.
Yeah. And Augie, you have a shout out for a fan.
I do. Mark Kelly was kind enough to remind me of something that I forgot. I am a huge fan of Carl Sagan.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark pointed out that Carl Sagan actually developed a calendar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I had left it out. I feel like a dumbbell.
No.
Anyway, this is really cool the way he did it. It's a way to visualize the chronology of the universe, scaling its current age to 13.8 billion years down to a single year. So you stick all that in a year's time, which puts the Big Bang at midnight on the 1st of January. Mm-hmm. That would be some fireworks.
Yes.
and then it maps on to the end of the 31st of December, just before midnight.
Wow.
Okay. So at this scale, there are 437.5 years per second.
Oh, gosh.
1.575 million years per hour.
Wow.
And 37.8 million years per day.
That's insane.
So it reverses your whole aging theory about adding a month and staying
young. I knew that was a failure from the moment I opened my mouth mentioning it the first time.
He goes on to say that if you wanted to kind of have a physical representation of what he's talking about, you would take an area the size of the surface of a football field, and the entire span of human existence would take up an area that would fit in his hand.
Oh my gosh.
So, and all the rest is just...
Right.
I mean, absolutely amazing. Kind of mind-blowing.
It is. It is.
Yeah, you can also think of it like in geological terms. Our teacher always told us, well, at 11:59... man came into existence.
Oh, that's right. The geological clock, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or I always heard it, my geology teacher always kind of put it on the scope of a football field and like, what was it, like a centimeter between the 1 yard and the goal line is where humankind began.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just blows my mind. If I want to like literally just go on a trip, it's like the universe is still growing.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Sure.
You sit there and you look at yourself, you look up at the sky and you see your stars, you see everything, but it's still growing. The expanse of eternity is eternity.
But Monty Python gave us that. They gave us that perspective.
Huh?
The universe is growing. Remember?
No.
When he wanted the guy's liver?
What movie?
What?
But when the Monty Python. The guy was an organ donor, and he went to get the liver, and the guy says, "Well, I'm using it right now." And he says,
I don't remember that bit.
And he sings this song that opens into the cosmos. He like walks through their refrigerator.
Is this the life of Brian?
No, this is Meaning of Life. But I don't remember that. I just remember the guy sitting at the restaurant. He's like, I'm full. I can't eat another.
I know.
A waffle thin mint.
And he blows up.
A waffle thin mint.
He just passed away. I know.
Oh, that made me sad.
Oh, yeah. Terry.
Terry Gilliam.
But shout out. We loved you.
Yes.
Y'all were amazing.
Very much. But, yeah, he talks about the universe is ever expanding and everything. It's this whole song.
Oh, I kind of remember that, yes.
It was good. He had a white suit and a cane.
Yeah.
Cute. And then he took his liver.
Okay, so that kind of fell. So I'm going to redeem myself by starting off this episode. This episode, we're talking about hidden and lost treasures. And my particular interest for this one is the Amber Room.
Ooh, yes.
The Amber Room was dubbed the eighth wonder of the world at the time. I mean, it was magnificent.
Yeah.
It was, let me see here, 6 tons of amber were used.
Amazing.
And I ran across a thing that told me the recipe they used for making it malleable. I was telling Pam about this. They used hot water, honey, and some spices, and they would put the amber in there to make it malleable, softer, and they prepared these wooden panels.
Uh-huh.
They covered them with gold leaf.
Oh my gosh.
And then they would spread the amber over them and do the carving while it was still soft.
Wow.
Yeah. Really, really cool.
Smelled really yummy too.
I know, right? Exactly.
I'm like going, honey, spice, yum.
Well, it was originally a gift to Peter the Great in 1716. Mm. It was conceived in the end of the 1600s. And then it was, construction began on it in 1701. It was originally installed at the Charlottenburg Palace, which was the home of Frederick the First. Mm-hmm. The first king of Prussia.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So it's going to get a little confusing, so keep that mind, that name in mind. It was designed by the German Baroque sculptor Andreas Schluter.
Okay.
And it was constructed by Gottfried Wolfram, a Danish amber craftsman, which, okay, I didn't even know amber craftsmen were
existed,
yeah.
Especially in Denmark.
Yeah, so exactly. Much amber in Denmark.
And Prussia. So when Peter the Great was visiting, he admired the room, and this was in 1617, the then King of Prussia, who was Frederick William the First, mm-hmm, gave it to Peter the Great.
Okay.
And this cemented an alliance.
Did he like walk in and say, my, what a lovely room, or did he walk in and say,
that's mine.
This room is gorgeous. It would look wonderful in my palace. Hint, hint. You
alliance,
want protection?
Alliance.
Hint, hint.
Well, he was called the Great, you know.
Yes. So you couldn't exactly say no to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And apparently, Frederick was very anxious to create this alliance, mm-hmm, with Russia against Sweden because Sweden is so very threatening.
They are.
Very scary people.
Well, they were, you know. Viking back then, were they still kind of?
But Vikings weren't really Swedish, were they? They were Norse.
They were Norse.
They were all Scandinavian.
And Danes.
The Danes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well,
but yeah.
Really,
I think
Sweden
about like
really
during,
wasn't. It was the Danish and the Norwegians. The Swedish.
But
really.
Oh yeah. Well, I was gonna say like Hamlet, but that was Norway versus Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swedes were just kind of.
I think of Sweden as very friendly
and blonde,
of, you know,
and
yeah,
perfect.
Blonde and clean,
and
yeah,
perfect,
and perfect.
They yeah are perfect. So yeah, all the Scandinavians are like perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Damn.
So anyway, it was shipped to Russia in 18 large boxes, and installed in the winter house in St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
So in 1755, the Tsarina Elizabeth ordered the room to be moved to the Catherine Palace in Pushkin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Italian designer, Bartolomeo Francesco Rastrelli, which I love, redesigned the room to fit into its new larger space, mm-hmm, using additional amber shipped in for Berlin, from
wow
Berlin. Now, what you have to understand, and you may already know this, I did not, amber represented great wealth. It was almost used as currency.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. And they actually had amber fishermen. Okay? These guys would wade out into the Baltic Sea.
Really?
And they would scoop the amber off the surface of the ocean.
Oh my gosh.
Even in winter. And they used these heavy, heavy lines,
uh-huh,
so that they didn't get swept away and
uh-huh
they could get back.
Uh-huh.
But it would flake off from the bottom of the sea and float up.
That
and,
is fascinating.
They would scoop it off the surface of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, of course, was risky.
Yeah,
and,
oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So amber was very precious, and it was kind of like whoever had the most wins.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And this was clearly an ostentatious show of wealth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's in, it's with old Pushed Bartolomeo.
Him. Okay.
The room covered about 180 square feet, and it
wow
glowed with 6 tons of amber and other precious stones. While it was still soft, they inset precious stones
oh
all
gosh
over it. Now, the whole thing, when it was put together, was lit with 565 candles.
Oh gosh.
So the room literally almost glowed.
I mean, could you imagine just walking into that?
Oh my gosh. It would be
breathtaking. I mean, it would
you,
be...
You would be speechless.
It was basically like the 18th century's version of the New Year's Eve ball in Times Square coming down with the Swarovski's crystals and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
put that into an enclosed room.
And light it with candles. Oh my gosh, that would be one heck of a disco ball,
right?
In today's times, it would be worth about $142 million.
Wow.
Now along comes a little guy named Hitler with the silly mustache, right?
Heard of him.
On the 22nd of June in 1941, he began Operation Barbarossa, which launched 3 million German soldiers into the Soviet Union. This invasion led to the looting of tens of thousands of art treasures, including the Amber Room.
Right. Gosh.
Now, Bartolomeo got word that, you know, the soldiers were coming and this was going to be a bad thing. So he tried to disassemble the room before they got there. But they were in a hurry, and as they started to try to pry the amber off the walls, it began to crumble.
Right.
So they covered it with a thin layer of wallpaper. Well, the soldiers weren't fooled. So they ripped the wallpaper off, and get this, after he was trying to carefully pry it off the walls and everything, they go in, and in 36 hours, they dismantled the whole thing.
Wow.
They tore through that room like a tornado.
Wow.
So can you imagine? I mean, oh my gosh. So they, after they tore it down, they packed it into 27 crates, because remember, they added amber to it.
Right.
And they shipped it to present-day Kaliningrad. It was installed in Königsberg's Castle Museum on the Baltic coast. Alfred Rhodes was the museum's director, and he was fascinated by the amber room. He spent 2 years researching it and studying it and every little nuance. And by late 1943, he was advised to dismantle the amber room and store it in crates because, once again, the invasion was encroaching. So in August of 1944, bombs destroyed the city and left the museum in ruins. At that point, the trail of the amber room was lost. So they current theory has it, there are some people who wrote a book that I'll tell you about in a minute, that he did indeed get it dismantled and got it into crates and got it into the basement. But the impact of the explosions and everything was such that it was just decimated. It was destroyed. There's been a lot of speculation about what may have happened to it. Many believe that it was destroyed in the museum. Some believe that the amber is still in Kaliningrad. And some say it was on a ship, even, that sank in the Baltic Sea.
Oh, geez. Could you imagine finding that?
Oh, my gosh. In 1997, some German art detectives got a tip that someone was trying to sell a piece of the amber room.
Oh, wow.
They confronted the seller's lawyer and found one of the room's mosaic panels in Bremen. But the seller was the son of a deceased soldier and had no idea where it had come from.
Right.
So he probably snagged a piece of it, you know, for old time's sake. The room even comes with its own curse. This is a full service story, okay? We've got it all here. Alfred Rode, remember the museum curator? He and his wife died of typhus while the KGB was investigating the room. General Gusev, a Russian intelligence officer, died in a car crash after speaking with a journalist about the Amber Room. And George Stein, a former German soldier and Amber Room hunter, was found murdered in a Bavarian forest in 1987.
Really?
So even, you know, up to 1987. Now, in October of 2017, The Independent in the UK published an article about three treasure hunters who believe they may have found it. Leonard Bloom was 73, Peter Lohr was 71, and Gunter Eckhart was the baby of the bunch at 67. They say that a series of clues revealed that it's hidden in a network of tunnels under a cave in one mountain in eastern Germany. This gives rise to the thought that the German soldiers put everything into a train car.
Right, and rode it into the mountainside.
Yeah, and then blew up the entrance.
Right, right. Yeah, and there's supposedly a lot of artifacts and such in there.
Exactly.
Don't this seems to be like kind of an Ark MO. Of the Covenant might be in there or something. I don't know.
Everyone knows the Ark of the Covenant is in Yemen.
Oh.
I'll show you a picture of the little church.
Okay.
That's for another episode. So, the Germans truly believed that it was made by Germans for Germans. So, it doesn't come as any surprise that they would think it was in Germany. But it's called the Prince's Cave. It's outside of Hartenstein, a town close to the Czech border.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered a very deep, long, big tunnel system and detected something they thought might be a booby trap.
Okay.
Evidence of an explosion fits with witness accounts that a shipment of crates had been hidden in the tunnels and the entrance blown up to hide them, like Wow. We were talking about.
Right.
Right.
Now, the Vintage News in June of 2019, this is from the Daily Express. Treasure hunter leader Bartholomej Plebanchik from Mamurki Bunker Museum. Okay, that was probably terrible. I'm sorry. He revealed that he and his team had made a breakthrough, zeroing in on a possible secret bunker near the town of Wegerzuo in northeast Poland.
Okay.
Okay.
So they were using ground-penetrating radar.
Uh-huh.
And they all point to the fact that there is this kind of plate covering an opening that goes down to the tunnels.
Oh, interesting.
And that a tree has grown over this.
Okay. Oh.
Which they say proves that no one has been in there since the end of the war.
Right.
So whatever's in there must be intact.
Right.
Now, it's a 1.5 meter square plate.
Mm-hmm.
And the hatch is near Hitler's Eastern Front headquarters, mm-hmm. sometimes called the Wolf's Lair.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they received government permission, they plan to dig deeper.
Now, wait. How long has it been?
Well, this was in 2019.
Oh, that's recent.
Very recent. June of 2019.
Oh, okay. Exciting. Maybe we can have, remember when they were going to open the vault.
Oh, Al Capone's
vault. Maybe they can have opening the hatch.
That would be pretty cool.
On Discovery Channel. No, it would be History Channel.
History.
Well, it's a Discovery, too.
Or maybe 2020.
Both channels.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big.
It is.
Amber is also thought to have some almost mystic properties. Mm-hmm. In Prussian culture, it was believed to be able to capture the past and hold it.
Oh.
And that it had an electrostatic quality, which I feel like I've heard in more recent times as well. Mm-hmm. That it's at least a good conductor or something.
I have not heard that. Interesting.
It was also seen as almost a form of cash, like mm-hmm. we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fisherman, and there are two authors. They got together and wrote a book. It's called The Amber Room,
mm-hmm.
Fate of the World's Greatest Lost Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
It's Adrian Levy and Kathy Scott Clark. And they seem to be kind of the go-to experts on the Amber Room now. And they truly believe it was destroyed.
Oh.
Their research and everything has led them to that, which
devastating
breaks my heart. Now, there is a replica that
right.
was built.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was okay. built by our buddy Putin,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Oh.
it reconstructed the Amber Room to the tune of $11 million mm-hmm. and 25 years.
Wow.
Rumor has it that it is gaudy, plastic-looking, and terrible.
Right. Well, because it's not real amber, right? Or is it?
Well, I would think it might be.
Probably real amber.
Because Russian amber, isn't there a lot of amber?
I think so, but if it's something for like $25 million, or how much?
$11
million, it's still, I mean, that's plastic's not worth that much.
But the original one, yeah, but you got to factor in the gold leaf.
True.
And the original one was worth $145 million
right.
of today's dollars. So right. I don't know. It's probably real amber.
I don't think it's real amber. And definitely not. Now, what kind of, was it semi-precious stones or was it precious or a mix of both?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this room had it all.
Yeah.
It must have been unbelievable.
Now, I would think that if it had precious and semi-precious stones, if they could do an excavation at the site where the museum was, then there would be evidence of stones, and that could at least be an indication that
that's true.
It was right. there.
I hadn't Unless, thought like, about the that. Heat of the explosion would just.
But if it's diamonds and such, they're not going to. That's the strongest material.
Right, but they could still be just shattered and you know, exploded into little bits everywhere.
But if it was...
I think it would be worth checking.
I think that would, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could, if you could get to
it. I mean, if it was
it.
Something like pearls or opals, yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Some of the harder but gemstones.
Emerald soft, but diamonds right. and, yeah,
why you know, not? Sapphires, rubies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's an idea. Yeah. We were talking about going there for a New Year's celebration anyway to Russia. So we could just bop on over...
You We've know. Got a very busy New Year's schedule, don't we?
You know, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. We've got a year to plan it. We
got it. Oh, and speaking of New Year's, it's
Chinese New Year.
So happy,
that's right.
Happy New Year's.
Yeah, happy
New Year. And this is the beginning. This is the first day of my year, the year of the rat.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm a rat. And this is going to be my year. So everyone wish me luck and think good thoughts
yes.
to me.
And I had heard that January 21st was the Japanese New Year.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I also want to tell everyone January 26th is St. Dwynwen's Day, who is sort of the Welsh St. Valentine.
Oh, okay.
She's the patron saint of lovers and sick animals.
Oh, well, that's
okay.
She's my favorite. But anyway, okay. That's the Amber Red.
That's an interesting right. combination.
I know. Well, St. Genesius, you know, the patron saint of actors?
Uh-huh.
He's the patron saint of actors, gymnasts, and thieves.
Thieves, yes. Gymnasts, I don't know where that comes into it, but thieves and actors, we are all sneaky little things,
weren't
we?
Hey. Watch out there.
Well, I have a special... part of my heart in that. So that's all interesting, right. though.
That's it. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I wonder if anything's built over
where
the museum was.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I didn't think to look that up.
I mean, I was just kind of thinking.
It would be very disappointing. Like we go out there and it's covered by concrete
in a four-story building.
Yeah,
but. Yeah,
they seem very clear on where it was and the basements and all that. Of course, that doesn't mean they haven't paved over it, but...
Right.
Who was that singer, Melanie? They paved... They took Paradise and...
Oh,
a parking lot.
Yeah,
she was definitely a philosopher of her time.
Dave Matthews. Not Dave Matthews.
Oh, no, before Dave.
Okay,
before
yeah.
That
I didn't know
Melanie.
That was a remake.
I'm sure it was Melanie.
I had no...
She did I've Got a Brand New... Roller Skate, You've Got a Brand New Key. Maybe we should get together and see what we could see.
No.
I don't know that song.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm ancient.
I've never heard of her either.
Sorry about that.
I was stopped now.
If I could... What was it? The gym...
If I could save time in a bottle.
But anyway. Oh, Jim Croce.
Yes. Everyone knows Jim Croce.
Love Jim Croce. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Very cool. Awesome.
Okay, so have either of you heard of a book called The Secret?
Well, yeah.
I did, but it's not the one you're talking about.
No Law of Attraction.
No.
That's the one I've heard of.
Yeah, that's the one I know of.
No, this is a different book.
Okay, then I don't know it.
Okay. Well, in 1982, an author named Byron Price published a book of puzzles called The Secret.
Okay.
The book consists of 12 poems and 12 paintings by fantasy illustrator John Jude Palancor.
Okay,
I hope I pronounced that correctly.
I like it.
Thank you. The poems and the images need to be matched. Once that is done, the map should lead you to different North American cities.
Okay.
So by combining the proper picture with the proper poem, it
tells you where
it creates a map.
Well, so is it like you open the book, it's like 12 or how many is it supposed
12.
To be? 12.
12.
So you get 12 poems and then you have 12 pictures.
Right.
And you have to
match the poem with the picture.
Okay.
So in these North American cities, Price buries ceramic casks encased in plexiglass.
Okay.
And within the cask is a key.
Okay. All right.
You can exchange the key for a jewel.
Oh, now I like that.
So collectively, the jewels are worth over $10,000.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wait, collectively?
Well, there's 12 casks.
So they're approximately about $900.
They're about $1,000 each.
A little bit under. Like $800.
Okay. Depending on the jewel.
Right.
So, I mean, that sounds pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
So, but in 37 years, only two of these casks have been found.
Oh, wow. 37 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
The first cask was found in 1984 in Grant Park, Chicago.
Okay.
And the second cask wasn't found until 2004.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was in the Cultural Gardens in Cleveland.
Wow.
Dadgum. Yeah. Cleveland, Ohio?
Yeah.
So, obviously, these
I think it's a little bit trickier than Bryce thought it would be.
It sounds kind of hard.
Yeah, not a piece of cake, I think.
I think he figured people would, like, run out there and say, oh, I know where that is, and find him within, you know, 6 to 8 months or something. Right. But, no.
Well, now, wait. Okay, so the guy who wrote the book, he assembled these paintings from this other painter, this other artist.
Yeah, what he did was he... You know, he decided what city he wanted to do. He wrote the poems.
Okay, so he wrote the poems himself.
Yeah, priced it. And then he gave that to the illustrator and said, draw a picture that incorporates the poems and some other things.
Gotcha. So he commissioned the artwork.
Correct.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay. So, but how did one locate the cities? Mm-hmm. We need to study each image in the book, and they have landmarks hidden within the images. They also contain numbers that if you put them together, they'll tell you the longitude and latitude of each city.
Okay.
Once the city was identified, the picture was matched with one of the poems.
Easy peasy. Okay, but now these numbers that you're talking about, are they something that you have to decipher as well, or are the numbers clear in the pictures?
They're hidden. Like, you know, you might have like a tree branch, and there might be like a three kind of sticking out.
Okay.
So they're not like right on the, you know, longitude, latitude, here you are. And they're like, they're put into...
It's not like 34th Street right there, boom.
No. Well, I didn't know if you had to figure out, like, count three blades of grass and say, okay, that must be a three.
No. That the numbers are there, but they're hidden within other... images and pictures. So you have to like decipher them and then, oh, I see a three or a five, and then you put them together and see what you come up with.
And hopefully it's truly a number that you're seeing and it's not just a figment of your imagination.
True. But I figure if you end up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's probably not the correct longitude and latitude.
Well,
I would hope.
Unless it was some atoll or something that caved in and, I don't know.
Probably not.
Under some hurricane.
In North it's America,
been a while.
Though.
Yeah.
True. But once you do that, then the clues in the verse would lead you to the cask.
Okay.
Once the cask was discovered, the finder would exchange the key and you would get your jewel.
Ah.
And it was about, you know, worth maybe $1,000.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Byron Price was killed in a car accident in 2005.
Oh, well, there you go.
And he took the locations to his grave.
Whoa, you're kidding.
Well, I mean, well,
is he married or?
Oh, yeah, he has a.
Does his wife know, maybe?
I'm sure his wife knows and family members and the illustrator as well. But the illustrator has basically put out there, do not ask me, I will tell you nothing.
Oh, wow.
And the family's not going to say anything either. It's either you find it or you don't.
Oh, well, no. It's like, so basically what they're saying that. If you find it, they're not going to sit there and say, oh, no, you're
screwed. No. I think if you find it and you can, you know, you can exchange it and get the jewel.
It's a right.
Okay. But I think at this point in time, I think it's more bragging rights that you found it rather than
give me
the jewel.
Listen, at this point in time, after 30 some odd years,
I think
those bragging rights are worth a lot.
Yeah. I think so. But if anyone is interested in searching for these casks, there are numerous websites that are dedicated to it, and they have excellent leads and theories from, you know, everybody posting on it.
But you know, at one point you showed me, well, I'm getting ahead of you, go ahead.
No, I was okay. So in case you are interested in searching for any of these,
why not,
Byron hid each cask no deeper than 3 to 3.5 feet.
Okay.
They're not buried in cemeteries, life-threatening locations, or private or public flower beds.
Or at least they weren't any of those things 35 years ago.
Right.
Correct. apparently, from what I was reading, he would dress up as like a maintenance man or a gardener, and he would go out into, you know, land and dig and then away.
So
I think it was pretty, I mean, you're not going to draw attention to yourself. So right. I think it's, you know, it's a small hole. He probably just dug, bury, cover, and right. boom.
We could even take like a fence post hole.
Right.
Well, what was his objective?
I think it was just a game.
He had a lot of money. He was bored and he wanted
Well, he was a publisher, and I think, yeah, I'm sure he was like, oh, let's see if people want to play this awesome game that I created and see what happens. And it, you know, it's fun. It's you know, it's a treasure hunt.
And obviously he had about $12,000 to just throw out.
Blow on jewels.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, still.
Not also, plane travel, hotels.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
Oh. Post-hole digger.
Yeah. Maintenance uniform. How much does that go for?
Clipboard.
I think it's a really cool idea.
It is.
So, well, each of the images represents a group of immigrants.
Okay.
Which that was one of the things that he was doing when he chose a North American city. Each city is known for the immigrants that came in from different countries.
Okay.
And then each image is linked to a particular month.
Okay.
It includes the month's birth flower and birth stone. So when you look at the image, say you find a ruby, you know that's July. Uh-huh. And then if you find that particular cask, you get the ruby.
Well, what's the birth flower for July?
That I have no idea.
I didn't know they had...
I didn't even know they had flowers.
Month.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I didn't know they had flowers.
I know kidding? That,
yeah, what's September?
I don't know September. I know mine's a chrysanthemum.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's a peony.
I don't know.
Huh. I'm just guessing.
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I just cared about the jewels.
But now, okay, does the month have any significance beyond the fact that you'll get the birthstone for that month?
No, I think did he bury it in July? No, it's just because there's 12 in 12 months and 12 casks.
Maybe he'll give you the poem and the original artwork framed.
That would be cool.
Next to the, so you can have like the stone and then you can have the poem on one side and the artwork on the other side.
So cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened with that. But so many treasure hunters have looked for these casks and they've narrowed down where they might be.
Okay.
So, one of the first ones, San Francisco.
Ooh, I love San Francisco.
Well, they had a lot of Chinese immigrants, and you would get a pearl if you found it.
Okay.
I love pearls.
Now, a cask was found in Golden Gate Park in February of 2019.
Okay. Oh, that was recent.
Oh, wow. Well, very recent.
But it was determined to be a fake.
Oh, man.
So, the...
Well, I wonder if the person, they planted it, and then they're like, oh, look what I found. Or if somebody, like, somebody else planted it, and they were totally suckered into thinking it was the real one.
I have no idea.
It would almost have to be the person who found it, because, I mean, what are the odds of just finding a random, if there's no hints or anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, the real cask is still buried.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is Charleston.
Ooh, love that too.
Oh, Charleston. Yes. That would be pretty. Oh, how lovely.
And then African immigrants, and you would find a diamond.
Lovely.
Nice.
Now, the Disney Channel actually organized a dig in White Point Garden.
Did they really?
Now, where's White Point Garden?
Somewhere in Charleston.
Oh, okay. So it's in Charleston. We're still in Charleston. Yes. No, I was just...
I'm a quarter of fifth and sixth.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I didn't know we were still in Charleston.
It's a place.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's a garden.
But the cast was never found.
Okay. That's interesting. I wonder if they, like... Was that going to be aired on the Disney Channel?
You know,
or was it...
Discovery. I remember...
You said Disney.
No, I said Discovery.
Okay. Sorry.
Or I might have said Disney, but I meant Discovery.
Gotcha.
But I do remember watching a show that Josh Gates did.
Yeah.
And he did do a topic on The Secret.
Really?
He did go to Charleston, and they did not find it.
Okay. I love Josh Gates so much.
He was awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. he still is awesome.
I think he still does the shows. And yeah. he gets to go travel all over the world.
Oh, really cool places.
I know.
Except for Doll Island. I don't want to go to Doll Island.
Oh, that's creepy.
That was weird.
But that's like he was a doll. I thought that was Zach with Ghost.
I think they both did.
Josh Gates, I'm certain, went there.
Mm-hmm. I think both of them did. Anyway, that's another podcast.
Okay.
Okay, so the third one, Roanoke Island.
Okay.
In North Carolina, and English immigrants, and you find a garnet.
Okay. Pretty. What? Garnet?
Garnet.
Garnet is January.
Well, I just kind of wonder, garnet, England, where's the connect? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he just liked
is
England.
Is it English? Is garnet English? Like diamonds, Africa makes sense.
I don't know.
Strange. But you can't find it.
Because Pearl, Asia, that makes sense.
Yeah. But it's on a historical site.
Oh, bum.
And you need permission to dig.
But they're not going to do that.
Clearly it wasn't an historical site at that time, right?
No.
Well, I think what it was is it was falling into disrepair at the time when he did it.
Oh, okay. So
it wasn't
considered.
It was an old site.
It wasn't designated as a historical site.
You're going to have to put on a maintenance uniform and go out there and pretend like you're tending the grass or something.
Well, with all the cameras and everything, you'd probably be stopped by guards pretty quickly. So, yeah, you would need permission, and I doubt they would let you start digging holes.
You could be like, I'm a ghost in Charleston past.
And that would be, you'd find yourself in jail. So,
spoils.
Of course, Chicago was found. Ireland, emeralds. So that's green and green.
So it was found?
The first one, Chicago.
Okay.
And then Cleveland found.
Right.
Greek and aquamarine. So I guess Greek and aquamarine could go together.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I still don't get the garnet.
Yeah, I don't get the garnet in England.
Don't get the garnet.
I don't know. Maybe it's like in the crown jewels.
Maybe somebody can give a shout out and explain what the connection is between garnets and England.
Please.
Yes.
Inform us.
St. Augustine.
Spanish. St. Augustine, Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spanish and sapphires? I always think of them as gold, but, Spanish gold.
Sapphire, why?
Yeah, I'm not getting sapphire. Maybe there were some random things that he just had to pick a stone for.
Well, maybe because the Spanish... The Spanish sailed the...
Seven seas?
And there's some, the blue something?
The blue seas.
I don't know.
Okay.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
There you go. He's Spanish, so there you go. Blue sapphire.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Give it to me.
So, in the Fount of Youth Archaeological Park.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the final spot is buried under a cabbage plant.
A cabbage plant?
Well, somebody needs to make some slaw. Yes. But the owners want to protect the cabbage plant. So.
Well, it's going to die eventually, right?
That must be a heck of a cabbage.
Yeah, I don't know how long.
I mean, like, how big is it?
I don't know.
Is it like one of those things where people take like a road trip to see the biggest cabbage in the world?
And how do they know that it's directly under this particular cabbage?
Well, because they figured out exactly where it was.
The longitude. Well, okay, you know what? Then we'll do something. We'll have to do like a mine. We'll go down and then take a sharp right turn underneath the cabbage.
I'm thinking I like salad. And
coleslaw.
You know,
I don't think you eat cabbage plants, do you?
Coleslaw. Where do you think coleslaw comes from?
No. Is a cabbage plant different than a cabbage?
No, it's a cabbage.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You positive?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You just take that head of cabbage.
Yeah.
But it keeps producing cabbage.
So why would you want
it if you...
Maybe it's
I think it's
really
special cabbage.
Dang good cabbage.
That is one dadgum good cabbage.
Yes.
I think it's different than a cabbage.
It's an heirloom cabbage.
Okay. But cabbages don't produce seeds.
I don't know.
Do they? How do you plant cabbage?
How do you plant lettuce? Because lettuce is the same principle.
True. It doesn't
seed. But I've seen lettuce seeds.
Have you?
Yeah, in the little packets, you know,
but
that you
there's
can plant.
No,
but where do they come from?
Where do they come from? It's like, where does the, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Maybe it's one of those things that you have to let it go to seed, like after, like you need to leave a few.
I don't know.
Without picking them. And
it's fascinating. I think that calls for an experiment.
I'll look that up and get back with you on it next episode.
to continue, we're not talking about cabbages or lettuce anymore. Or
no
coleslaw.
Cabbages or kings.
No. Anyway, New Orleans.
Ooh, love New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
French and turquoise.
Turquois. It was originally pronounced turquoise. Which would make sense why it'd be French. Turquoise.
I wish I liked turquoise.
You don't like turquoise?
Not really.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's really pretty.
Well, silver.
Depends on my color. Anyway.
Doesn't do it for me.
Okay. Well, we needed to go to New Orleans so we can look for the cash. True.
Absolutely.
I have some beignets and coffee and jazz.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
You're speaking to my soul.
And we can go by Nicolas Cage's haunted house.
Yeah, oh, but I've been there cool. many times.
Just on the outside, though. I'm not going to go inside.
But the clues have led to a site where the former St. Charles Hotel once stood.
Okay.
In 1983, Place St. Charles was constructed on the same site.
So it's under concrete.
Oh, the cast
or it was dug
lost.
Up for the construction.
It's probably lost.
If they're that small.
Yeah.
You know,
with a backhoe, they're not going to pay attention.
They're not
but the other thing is that I would be kind of wary if I were him to bury on a place that obviously could be
had the potential
built
for,
on.
Yeah.
And you don't, I mean, yeah, sure, you hope that people find it within 6 to 8 months, but you don't know when they're going to start building and tearing up stuff, and if they don't find it. So I have my doubts that it would actually be buried there, and other people who have looked into this point it at Armstrong Park, actually.
Oh right.
Okay. As a potential.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
I don't know. But it would be interesting to, like, check out and see for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one is right in our backyard, Houston.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about this. I remember you showed me the painting for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get Houston from that painting.
What did you get? Not Houston.
It didn't scream a city to me. I mean,
well, the thing is, you had Persian immigrants, and that's where you had the columns, and that screams Persia.
But you know, it,
but then if you looked at it, there was a rhinoceros, there were animals.
But to me, okay, to me, that's when I think of Persian immigrants, I think of Los Angeles, and when I think of that, I think of the LA Zoo, which is in Griffith Park.
But okay. In defense of this one, he buried these in what year?
83 or 82.
Well, the book was published in 82, so.
So it had to have been pre-82.
Right.
There's a lot of Persians in Los Angeles.
There was a huge influx, though, at that time here.
Were there?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Iranians and everything.
Because I'm particularly partial to
Persians.
They
I didn't know that.
They make my little heart go pitter-pat.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, please, carry on.
Anyway.
Well, I'm wondering. I'm just saying, possibly
could
Los Angeles. You say Houston, I think Los Angeles comes to my mind.
No, I'm saying I did not get Houston from that picture.
Because you've got Griffith Park and LA Zoo is in Griffith Park.
Right, that's but true. We have Herman Park and the zoo is there.
True.
And we have, like, Persian immigrants.
So is LA.
And they also had a large train engine. In the verse. And remember that big train engine that we used to have?
Oh, yeah.
I bet Griffith Park does not have that.
I don't know. It has a dancing bear statue.
Okay, not
there's
a train.
Nothing. There's nothing in the verse about a dancing bear.
That's really a stretch. I can't give you that.
I'm going to have to go back to Griffith Park.
Well, I'm going to go to Herman Park and see if I can find it. But
well, we can do both.
I want to come with you.
So but, where? Both?
Yeah.
Now, what month and stone and all that?
Well, it would be a ruby.
Beautiful.
So July.
Right.
Well, that's your birthstone. You know, I think there's something, there's a certain sort of symmetry here. I think you're meant to find it.
Of course. But it's probably buried under concrete.
So wait, where was Sapphire again?
Spain?
Sapphire was...
Oh, where it was?
St. Augustine.
Oh, gosh. I'm not partial to Florida.
No.
They do have beautiful beaches, though.
Yeah, but it's all covered with condominiums now.
I'm not a beach person.
I like white sand.
I do, too. And bath water. Mm-mm. Blue.
That you can actually see the sharks
Caribbean.
Coming at you.
Okay.
Anyway. And then the next one is a little further north, Montreal.
Ooh, I want to go to Montreal.
Yeah.
Netherlands and an opal.
Netherlands? I don't think of Netherlands and Montreal.
The Dutch.
I think of Pennsylvania for Dutch.
I don't know. This is what they think Montreal.
Montreal. Hey, they've got an opal. I'll take it. I love opals.
It's an odd... Okay.
I'm not sure. I couldn't really find that much information. It was like 102 parks, and I wasn't really familiar with them. And then Milwaukee.
Okay.
Germans. Amethyst.
Okay.
And they're saying it is at Lake Park. Okay. So, you know, I guess they're still out there. You just need to
find
search it. For them.
Right.
Milwaukee wouldn't be a bad trip.
Mm, no.
It'd be a lot cooler than here.
Anything is cooler than here.
Oh, come on. Houston is second to New York when it comes to the arts, when it comes
to
dining.
No, I meant temperature.
Hot.
Oh.
Hot.
Hot.
You don't have to defend Houston to me. I just meant temperature.
Yeah, it's slightly warm. And then we have Boston.
Okay.
Italian and Peridot.
Okay.
Peridots are pretty.
Mm-hmm. And they think it's in the Charlesgate neighborhood near the Back Bay Fens. There was a claim that it was found, but so far there's no proof.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, couldn't they just ask the wife if she's given out that
jewel? She's not going to tell anybody.
Well, no, I mean, if somebody's making a false claim, she could at least say,
I'm sure that's what's happening, but, you know.
Okay.
No one said that there's, you know, oh, here it is, but there's no proof. They're just saying, oh, I found it. So.
Okay.
And then the last one is New York City.
Yeah.
Russia.
Okay.
And Topaz.
Okay.
Ooh.
And apparently it's been narrowed down to a street near New York Harbor.
Okay. Mm.
It appears that this tree that it's buried near under escaped damage from Hurricane Sandy, so it still might be recoverable if you could get
another
to it.
Dadgum tree growing over a treasure, man.
Right? You know, but New York in the fall, it's really lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I adore New York. Oh, I wish I had just a little more energy.
I love New York.
But yeah, that's it. So, you know, I think it's really interesting that there's at least, you know,
10 out there, maybe.
10 out there, yeah. 8 that you might actually be able to
Well,
find.
We all like to travel. I think this might be an interesting project.
But yeah, there's a lot of information out there.
Maybe we can get the Discovery Channel to fund our treasure.
Well, you know, we can start in our own backyard.
Oh, I know, exactly. Sure.
And once we find that one, we'll have some momentum going.
Right.
And New Orleans is not that far.
Right.
So yeah, then we call it. We get one under our belt.
Right. We can go to stages and borrow a couple of maintenance costumes.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Peachy. Yeah. Okay, that was interesting, Pam.
Thank you.
It really was.
Yeah, I like that. So for mine, I'm going to do Oak Island.
Oak Island, Nova Scotia. Oh, wow. I was obsessed with that show.
See, I didn't even know there was a show.
Really?
No, and I worked in TV. That's what happens when you work in TV, you stop watching TV. I was just like, I had no idea. So I feel kind of clueless on this one.
Please give me details. I love this topic. I do.
All right. So, starting the legend of the treasure basically started in the 18th century, and it was said to have come from a dying pirate of Captain Kidd's crew.
Huh.
He spoke of buried treasure worth about £2 million on the island, and it became a word of mouth legend passed down from generation to generation by the settlers.
That was a lot. What?
£2 million back then in the 18th century.
Dadgum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, wow.
A lot. And, I mean, basically, we don't know who this person was. We don't know. Who is this pirate?
Oh, I see. There's no real...
There's no hard evidence. I mean, we knew that Captain Kidd existed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just have the word of mouth of some dead, dying guy somewhere. So, you've got no substance behind this, but it makes for a great story.
But why would you make something like that up?
Maybe he just had like a bug up his butt and he wanted to...
He had an itch he needed to scratch.
Well, what was he dying? Were they hanging him or something? No, like, hey, wait, there's buried treasure. I don't know.
Maybe it was a deathbed thing. That might carry more weight.
I think it was a deathbed thing. I don't know. It just adds to the mystery.
Okay.
It adds to the mystery. And supposedly, going to the 2 million pounds, the cache of treasure is pretty much just as fantastical as the story itself, because it's such a hodgepodge of stuff. You got the basic pirate treasure of cache. Then Shakespearean manuscripts.
What?
I know, right? And...
But now, hang on. Isn't part of this... Isn't part of the problem the fact that there's a ton of water in there?
Well, I'll get to that.
But how are manuscripts going to survive?
What are you talking about, water?
I think
she's going to tell you something.
I'm sorry.
Augie's jumping ahead.
I will shut
just
up.
Just wait.
No, but it's just going to... Water aside, this is supposedly is what's supposed to be in this cache of treasure. Shakespearean manuscripts, how in the world we've got it? And to add to that is supposedly these manuscripts could be evidence that Francis Bacon was the actual author.
Oh, that's
as
just
opposed
trying
to Shakespeare himself.
That's just trying to kill two birds with one stone. I've heard that theory.
I don't know why. Why is Shakespeare such a bad playwright? Why can't we just say, way to go, Shake?
I don't
Good
know.
Job. What would a pirate do with his manuscripts anyway? Is he reading them when he's
maybe
like at
he
night?
Was, who knows? Maybe he was the great nephew of Francis Bacon, and Francis Bacon on his dying breath said, take these manuscripts because I actually wrote them. And hide them because...
So no one will ever find them.
And no one will ever know.
And know the truth that I was me.
It was me all along.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, the Holy Grail and or the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, thank God they found both in the same place.
How convenient.
Oh, that is convenient.
Awesome.
But this ties into the theory of a connection with the Knights Templar, and there's a connection with the Knights Templar on Oak Island. That I will get into.
Very cool. But like I told you earlier, the Ark of the Covenant is in Yemen.
No, it's not. Everyone knows it's in
a big crate that Indiana Jones found in Washington.
Yes.
And the government is working on it.
Yeah. And they put it away in a long room.
Yes.
It's in Yemen.
Okay. Here's another odd one. Marie Antoinette's jewels.
She just handed them over to some pirate?
Exactly.
Maybe he was the guy who cut off her head.
And the throes of death. Take this.
My last good
Maybe
good
he made her
will.
Little heart go pitter-pat. I mean, you know, maybe she went for the bad boys.
I don't know. It just makes no sense.
Let
it
them eat cake, but you take my jewels.
Here's an what?
Let them eat cake, but here, you can have my jewels.
Because then she can put them to so much more use.
Yes, oh, bury Lord. Them in a casket on Nova Scotia,
which I've never even heard of.
Does it exist?
I yes. do want to go to Nova Scotia, though.
Oh, okay. It would be nice, but yeah, go ahead.
Money smuggled from Fort Louisbourg before it fell to the British in the 18th century.
Where's Fort Louisbourg?
I am not familiar with Fort Louisbourg.
I don't know. I've never heard of that. Maybe that was in Nova Scotia.
Canada? No.
Well, it fell to the British.
Right.
It had to have been in the Northeast then, right?
Maybe.
Did the British fight the Canadian Indians?
Before it fell to the British, so that must have been during the war.
French-Indian War?
No.
No.
The French-Indian War.
The War for Independence.
Yeah, the Revolutionary War.
I just remember, I guess I'm thinking Last of the Mohicans, where the British were fighting the French, but then
That's
the
French-Indian War. That was not the Revolution.
Yes. But you're talking about what year is this again?
18th century. There's no year.
1700s.
French Revolution.
So 17, yeah.
Which makes sense. Okay. And then you've got British plunder from the 1762 capture of Havana.
Oh, yeah, that's not remote.
Not at all.
No. Okay. You go from Cuba all the way up to Nova Scotia.
This is actually the first I'm hearing about that. I mean, what did you just say?
Yeah, the British plunder from the 1762 capture of Havana.
Well, I guess if
the
you're
British
in a...
captured Havana in 1762, is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Apparently. Yes.
Who'd have thought?
I
did not know that.
Well, I guess if you're going to escape, go north.
Go north, young man. Go north.
Where else would you go?
West?
Go north, where it's cooler. Yeah, go west, young man.
Go west, young man. To gold. And so
Gulf of Mexico.
I think that we should add, throw in some other missing treasure that people kind of discuss, like the Llewellyn Ap Griffith's coronet.
Really?
That's considered a missing treasure.
Oh,
or maybe
yes.
You could have the crown jewels of Ireland or the Confederate gold. It's why not?
Dang.
Well, John the First lost the crown jewels of England, and they're still missing.
They're still missing. Maybe they're in Nova Scotia.
Maybe.
Throw them down that hole with all the others.
Works with me. I
mean, it's almost like the known world's rubbish bin or something.
Yeah, that's like the disposal.
Oh, I have valuables. Yeah. Let's go take them to this big hole in the
north. Maybe the Amber Room is there.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yes. It's in Nova Scotia.
Oh,
there we go.
Mystery solved. And do you mean that your guy did not bury one of his casks?
In Nova Scotia? Scandinavia, because it's been discovered by Vikings, so you could have had Scandinavian immigrants.
Well, now, she did say Montreal.
Montreal.
Oui.
There is one in Montreal.
Oui. Mm. But who were the immigrants from Montreal?
From the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, that makes no sense. You don't think of, again, you don't think of Dutch in Montreal. You think of Pennsylvania.
I think he actually dumped all the casks down the hole on Oak Island.
And Oak, everything is on Oak Island. Except for the two that were found, the one in Chicago. And
Well, he had to do that.
He did that initially, and then he's like, oh, heck with this. Let's just dump it down there. It's too much work.
Take it to Oak Island.
Move aside, Grail. I'm taking over.
Mine is much more valuable. So... And on that note,
a little diversion.
Yes. There have been 10 digs at the now purported money pit.
10 digs altogether or 10
altogether.
Different people?
10 different digs over time, over a period of time.
Well, I actually thought there had been more than that.
Well, I've got 10.
Oh, I'm not doubting you. I just... No, in my head.
I'm kidding.
I mean, they did a whole show. Did they do a dig each season or
No, I'm saying...
It's probably the same dig.
No, yeah. I'm talking about 10 from separate individuals. 10 separate attempts.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm not talking about one person...
I dug 10 times. I'm done.
I'm done.
No, there's 10 shovelfuls. I didn't find anything. I'm moving on.
Right.
I went down 5 feet. I'm tired. So the first one was the area was discovered by a Donald McGinnis. He was a Scottish loyalist, and this was approximately 1799. And there's multiple stories about how this area was found, but the common or the well-known story is that he was scouting for farmland and he found like this soft depression and he started digging with a couple of friends.
Like you do.
Right. Well, but he knew about the legend.
He did.
He knew about the legend. He began digging with John Smith and an Anthony Vaughn. And they reportedly found a layer of flagstone 2 feet down, then oak platforms or marks or tool scrapes.
So these are things that are clearly man-made, not naturally occurring.
Right.
Okay.
And that was at every 10 feet.
Hmm. That regular?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the details kind of depend on whose accounts you're following. But they stopped digging due to superstitious fear. Or they probably just ran out of money. I think they just ran out of money.
Okay.
And then there have been other dates after that, 1802, 1849, 1861, 1866, 1896. And then you get into the 1900s, 1909, 1928, 1959, 67. And then in 2005 with the Lagina Brothers with the History Channel. And that's the one that you were talking about, The Curse of Oak Island.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And that is the current ongoing dig. And, of course, they own that spot now.
Well,
they bought the island, I think, or something.
Yeah, well, if I'm
it's private land.
Oh.
If I'm remembering correctly, didn't they incorporate? I mean, aren't they like a business doing this now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they have like tours or something. And
Yeah, and there's something about, gosh, it's been so long since I watched that show. You know, I don't have television now. Mm-hmm. There's something about boat tours or something too.
I don't know. Again, okay. It's all new to me. I didn't know there was a show.
Okay. I would love to go.
So, but going into that, the makeup of the pit per accounts, it seems to be a layer of obviously man-made. You got the flagstones, these oak platforms that are occurring every 10 feet. They've done core samples. You get charcoal, putty, coconut fibers, which is so...
Coconut fibers in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Well, that's not native, obviously.
Right. Clearly.
Yeah.
Coconut, those poor little coconut trees growing in the snow.
But, you know, I was wondering on this is shipping back in the day, obviously they didn't have peanuts or styrofoam peanuts. So maybe they used coconut fibers as a weight, as insulation or something to...
I'm sure that's entirely possible.
So maybe that's where the coconut fibers came in.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just theorizing. They found spruce platforms at 98 feet along with oak and metal. Then spruce again, and then clay, blue mud. So you get this, obviously, this is not naturally occurring stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not to be at exact at 10 feet, 10 feet, 10 feet down.
And you said there's tool marks too, right?
There's some kind of tool or scratching marks, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just seems a bit extreme if you're burying all this stuff. And it sounds like you're... running from something, because if you're trying to bury it, someone's probably after you looking for the treasure.
But this is my theory, and this is kind of going into the legend of Troy. They actually say that they believe they've discovered the city of Troy. Mm-hmm. But there's something like eight cities on top of each
building. Right. They didn't build on top of each other.
The Tower of London is built on top of Roman ruins.
Yeah. Right.
So you've got these multiple layers. So I'm wondering if you're looking at a situation where you have the indigenous peoples and they just kept building on top of the same site.
But what were they built? I mean, would it have been a hole that they dug? I'm not really sure.
Well, the problem is that you cannot do an archaeological excavation because the area is so contaminated with digging. I mean, you're talking back 1799.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything has been artifacts. So you can't do a legitimate dig. And there has been artifacts that have been found. There was a Roman cross or something.
I remember something about a sword that they found.
Yeah, but there's proof that we know that the Vikings went to that area.
Yeah.
I mean, this way before Columbus. Romans, they believe, had been to that area.
I've heard that theory, yeah.
So there's a lot of theory that the area has been discovered by multiple cultures over hundreds of years, not just 1492. There's three areas of concentration for the dig. You've got one, the money pit. That's the main dig. That was the initial one, and that's where everybody really still kind of focuses on. As digging would go deeper and deeper, the pit would flood with water.
Okay, I remember that.
Right, and that would stop people. Yeah, and that would stop people from digging. And that led the excavators to believe that the area was actually booby-trapped. So that kind of fueled the pirate theory.
See, I didn't really buy that because if you go down to the beach and you dig a hole, say you want to make a sandcastle, right, and you're digging up poles, when the waves come in, even if you're some distance from the water line, water will come in.
Yeah, but this is way far away from the shoreline.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's far from the shoreline.
But you're on the shoreline.
Well, no, you're not. No,
you have a shoreline.
Yeah, no, it's an island.
Rocky.
It's island. Well, I'm going to go into the geographic of it.
Okay.
But going back to the three areas of concentration, there's another location at Smith's Cove, because when they saw the tunnel, the booby traps, they were getting tunnels from the nearby coastline. So they went to follow the tunnels.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it took them to the Smith Cove, and they were doing, they thought of that as a potential source for the flooding. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they did excavating there. They found some man-made structures, which kind of further fueled the whole booby trap theory, along with artifacts. So they thought that there might have been another, a separate area for treasures.
Well, that one was getting full.
Yeah. And then Nolan's Cross, which is an area of six large boulders. It forms a, it's obviously man-made, because it forms a cross that's 360 feet wide and 876 feet long. So you're kind of like thinking the structure of a Stonehenge in a way. You know, I mean, these are rocks that were deliberately laid out to form a cross. Yeah. And that is kind of, that fuels the Knight Templar kind of thing, because the theory is the Knight Templars took, went to Nova Scotia.
Right.
Why would they go to Nova Scotia? Right.
They got around.
They were busy little buddies. Yeah. But the cross to represent the Knights Templars cross.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fascinating, kind of all these theories flying around.
Yeah, but this Knights Templar, I mean, they're kind of a catch-all as well.
Yeah.
Because if they had really gotten everywhere, legend says
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. So going into the discussion of the flooding, and this goes into the geology, the makeup of Oak Island itself, I compared it to a Florida.
Okay.
Florida is known for its sinkholes. It's basically almost like it's a limestone peninsula, very soft. You have a lot of groundwater. It causes it to dissolve sinkholes.
Right.
So you look at the makeup of the island. It's bedrock, lithified rock, covered by regolith. It's the bedrock is composed of limestone and gypsum. It's very soft. It's you have underground caves. You've got underground tunnels that build up over time, and so you're digging. You hit a thin part of the wall. It breaks open. You've got water flooding in.
Right. Do you think that the money pit may have started as a little bit of a sinkhole?
Oh, sure. It's highly possible. But then again, going back into it, you've got all these structures that are man-made. That's going to cause a depression as well.
That's true.
Yeah, because if you're building and you're flooding, you're going to build higher when you're flooding.
That's why I think that there's something more to it. I think that that was an archaeological location, and it's just, I don't think that they could do anything now. Maybe probably Josh not. Can go and look.
Yeah, let's give him a call. He's an archaeologist. Yeah, let's give him a call. I like him.
Yeah, why not?
I bet he'd be interested.
Yeah. And of course, with any treasure, you've got to have a curse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Always.
Except for my treasure didn't.
No, it didn't. Pam's didn't have a treasure. Or have a curse.
You didn't have a curse.
There was no curse.
You didn't have a curse?
No.
Of course not. No.
It was just a game.
Not you. Miss Perfect.
My treasure is still safe for people to search for. You won't, Tom.
All right. But this curse, it states that seven men will die in search for the treasure before it is found.
Well, now, hang on.
Only seven?
Seven. Yeah, didn't only seven.
So after seven men die, then it's good to go?
I guess.
Okay, no human sacrifice.
No.
Rats. Am I remembering this incorrectly, or did someone try to dive in there and they passed away?
Well,
on the dive?
No, not exactly.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. We don't know where the curse came from. It's another word of mouth legend. It goes great with a pirate. With any pirate, you got to have a curse, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and buried treasure keeps people away. Usually keeps people away. You're going to die if you find it. Okay.
Well, obviously it didn't work because you got people digging.
Are they dead?
Well, some are. But supposedly it originated over 100 years ago. But it seems that only one person was known to mention anything about it. And this was in January 1967 in a publication of True, the Man's Magazine. Have you ever heard of it?
Never.
No.
But not being a man.
It's no longer in publication.
Oh, shoot.
Right?
Rats.
But they did an article on the legend of the treasure, and a local stated the curse for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And so there you go. She might have just been really drunk.
Or maybe she was tired of people coming and digging on their land. And
really? It sounded really good.
Yeah.
It's like, go away. There's a curse. You'll die. Leave.
Seven men will die in search of the treasure. Sorry. But to date, there have been 6 deaths.
Ooh.
There have been 6?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize there'd been that many.
Yeah. So the first one was 1861. A worker died when a boiler exploded. 1897, a worker fell down into the shaft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then in 1965, there were 4 treasure hunters that died from exposure to hydrogen sulfide fumes.
Really?
Yep. So just...
Wow.
You just need one more and you're good to go. Who wants to volunteer? I'm kidding.
Who are we going to kill?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Can we kill somebody else?
Wow.
Yeah. So that's it.
So just one more to go.
But it seems like, and I've watched a lot of documentaries and stuff about this because it absolutely fascinates me. Mm-hmm. I thought they sent someone down there in a scuba suit.
Oh, I don't know.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I may be mixing it up with a fictitious movie. I don't know. Well, what do you think? Do you think there's something down there to find?
Archaeologically speaking, yes.
Treasure-wise?
Treasure-wise, no.
Probably not.
Because, so your theory for the different...
Is my theory with...
The Troy theory.
The Troy, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I mean, the interesting thing are the flagstones.
I mean, who knows? Maybe it was an ancient lighthouse. And they had to keep building up and building up and building up because it kept sinking.
But how far down did you say they'd gone? 95 feet?
Well, if everything was like 10 feet deeper, 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 and then there was one that was like 80 feet deeper.
Really?
I thought. Maybe not.
98 feet.
98 feet, sorry.
So that's all they together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure they're down much farther now, but they hit spruce platforms at 98 feet.
That's a long way.
But if you think about it, sinks. So it's, and you have this weight coming down and it's pushing. The more you build on top of something, the heavier it's going to get.
Right.
And it's going to continue to sink.
That's just, that, for some reason, I understand what you're saying and it makes perfect sense. But mm-hmm. for some reason, I'm having the toughest time wrapping my head around that.
But to me, it's like, why in the world would Captain Kidd dig 100 feet for treasure? That's a lot of work.
And then put all those layers up
yeah,
above.
Yeah,
that's... You don't have time.
No.
Really.
Especially, you know, he was being chased down and he ended up getting hanged for piracy.
Something.
He did.
Okay.
So.
I think it was a Hail Mary. It's like, don't hang me. Hey, I know there's treasure. I know I buried it.
Well, he wasn't the one who said it. It was one of his crew.
Yeah, but they were probably all getting hung at the same time.
No, he wasn't. No. He was on his deathbed. He's probably dying from malaria or scurvy or something. I don't know. Rum poisoning.
Wow.
Rum poisoning.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's neat.
I liked it. Yes.
You're welcome.
Well, so I guess that's episode 2.
I know, right?
Yes.
So, folks, if you have anything to add to this, please let us know. And if you guys have any ideas of things that you'd like to hear us address, please let us know. We have an email address. We have realweirdness@yahoo.com.
Our Facebook page.
Twitter, Instagram. We've got all of it. So
you can go to our website, realweirdness.com, and it'll have all of our social media on there, and mm-hmm. we'll have our list of sources for this podcast.
We'll try to put up some photographs, and I think our next one will really fascinate you. Is it real or is it not? We're gonna address some cryptids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some you may have heard of, some I doubt you have. So join us and
we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.